You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, have you ever been to one of those animal parks or safari parks where you go in your car and you kind of drive through the enclosure?
You know what? I never have done that.
No, I think I remember doing it once.
Right.
Like back when I was a kid.
How was it?
Maybe I was 10 years old or something like that.
Because I imagine you could just end up not seeing anything. Could just like just be going for a drive.
Yeah, true. So this one I went to, it's not like your average zoo where like the enclosure's maybe 10 metres by 10 metres or something. You're not driving through that.
Hmm.
But they're like huge, these massive enclosures. And then you go through and there's like maybe zebras or lions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there are big signs saying, do not get out of your car. It's like, obviously, there's lions. I wasn't planning on.
Well, the hippos are real killers, hey?
Yeah, hippos. Avoid the hippos as well. But Simo, the reason I bring this up is because one of these type safari parks in the UK, it's called Knowsley Safari Park, I hope I'm saying that right, and that has made headlines because apparently the baboons at this safari park have been spotted with, quote, knives and screwdrivers.
Look out. They're on their... Wait, did they break out themselves?
No, they're still in their enclosure. They're just kind of wandering around their little area.
All right, who gave the monkeys arts and crafts permission that day?
Well, the thing is with these... like, I'm sure you would have seen the footage or something like that. Like, monkeys just all jumping on one car. And, like, have you not seen this?
No, I mean, monkeys aren't part of my daily social media intake, if I'm honest.
I mean, they're not mine, but whenever I see one, brilliant.
Unless you count Aussie politicians as... Yeah.
Look, there are a few.
Up to monkey business.
Also, no, cool, Simo, because they all kind of jump on the car and then they'll grab the windscreen wipers.
Hell.
And take the... I know they're vicious. And now they're giving them knives and screwdrivers.
Yeah, so is there any report about how they got hold of the weaponry?
Well, it's interesting. The wildlife park has come out and said that they hope it wasn't just visitors giving them knives and screwdrivers for a laugh. It was more likely that they kind of just nicked it out of a worker's toolbox or something while he was in the enclosure doing some work. Or maybe he dropped it or something like that.
I love the fact that they spotted it as well because it's hard to miss a baboon. They're really bright bums.
They are the bright bummed monkey. However, I mean, if you work at a wildlife park, I would assume it would become less, you know. If you're just walking down Sharp Street in Cooma and you see a baboon...
With a knife?
Well, just if you see a baboon full stop.
True.
That's going to catch your attention.
That's right.
Whereas if you work at a safari park and it's like, oh, there's a baboon. It's like, yeah, we see them every day. It's fine.
He's got a knife.
Yeah, admittedly, if you see a baboon with a knife, all of a sudden that would become concerning.
Especially if it's like one of them's got a knife and the other one's got a bigger knife. You'd be like, that's not a knife, that's a spoon.
And one of them with a screwdriver, it's like, yeah, lol.
Wow, so there were three of them.
Well, there's a group of baboons, so unconfirmed how many there were. There were actually reports in local media that the baboons were walking around with chainsaws.
Wow.
And then managed to steal chainsaws. However, that was very quickly quashed by the wildlife park.
Yeah.
That said, and
even
I quote...
Even if it was true, you'd want to quash it.
And I said, I know, it's probably not the best for business. Actually, it might be good for business.
Come and see monkeys with chainsaws.
Quickly, before they injure themselves, which they probably will, because let's face it, it's a monkey with a chainsaw.
Quickly, before they injure themselves and you...
But no, they did quash that, saying it has been reported a troop of baboons managed to grab things like chainsaws, but this is certainly a load of old nonsense.
Wow. So is there any report on what colour their bums were at the time? They do fluctuate, either blue or red.
Why do you know so much about baboons' bums?
I don't know. I think I read it somewhere. So typically the red ones, if they had red bums, they would have been the girls.
Yeah.
If they were blue backside, they would have been the boys. So
literally David Attenborough would not know this much about baboons' bums. And Simo, you do.
Yeah, so they weren't angry with the knives or anything, were they?
Well, I certainly hope not.
Because I'd be angry if my bum was red or blue. It would cause a lot of angst. So I would be maybe thinking about picking up weapons as well.
Well, I think we can all just be glad that Simo's bum is not red nor blue.
Simo and Jordan.
Thievery, Jordan, and stolen items.
Is something that we 100% don't endorse on this show.
You ever had anything pinched, especially at a younger age?
Sorry, I think you did. You ever stolen anything? Oh, yeah, there's that bank I robbed 2 weeks ago, but no one knows about that yet.
They're on the lookout. Oh, wait, they haven't checked the vault.
I mean, probably wouldn't be the best bank if they've just gone 2 weeks without checking the vault.
Anyone had a look in there yet?
I swear there was more money in there when I checked 3 weeks ago.
It's like, no, we just duck in there for a smoke on our break.
It's a brilliant place to have lunch.
It's a cashless society. We haven't, you know, we haven't had money in there for years.
No one's withdrawn anything since December.
However, when you were a young kid, did you ever have anything, like, did you ever have a shattered moment where a bike got pinched or anything like that?
I don't think I did.
Well,
did you ever have, does this bring up bad memories for you?
Oh, I had numerous stuff, but it wasn't really pinched. It was just more borrowed.
Lost.
Borrowed without permission by two younger brothers.
Two younger brothers. I'm going to say that's sort of stolen. So if I went to a bank and said, no, I just borrowed this money without permission. I don't think that would stand up in a court of law.
That's called a loan, and they want you to do that. That's how banks work.
I don't think it is if you go in there armed.
Well, yeah, armed.
I think traditionally a loan, there's some paperwork that needs to be signed.
Now, you got to be armed with your license to kill, your driver's license, and away you go.
I mean, yeah, do bring photo ID with you. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
However, overnight, a bike thief has gone viral for the note that they left at the scene.
Okay.
So they left it on the bike rack,
mm-hmm.
and the note reads, "If you're looking for the grey bike, I stole it. Back. It was mine. Photos and serial number to prove! ! So long, sucker! ! Ha ha ha! Loser! !
I see. So someone had stole this person's bike.
Yes.
I assume this is just like a push bike, yeah. Like what they ride in the Tour de France.
Yep.
Okay, so someone had stole his bicycle, and then he just happened to be walking past and saw it and stole it back.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Nice karma, hey.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Very much so.
And I don't have any more questions.
So what I thought was, it is a time to talk about things that get taken back.
Okay.
It is time for a top five. So top five things you might have lost, loaned out, and never got back when you were a kid.
Okay.
But if you had the option to steal them back, you would take.
Okay, right. I'm with you.
Coming in at number five... this is the current one. So sauce from your housemates, you realise that it's a bit lighter than it was.
Yeah.
It's not as much in here.
Yeah.
If only I could take back that sauce and I could actually have enough for my dinner.
Well, I did take it back because I just steal the sauce off their shelf and then all of a sudden we're eating each other's sauces without noticing.
Coming in at number four, the cereal box computer game you got at 14 years of age but you loaned to your mate at primary school and never saw again.
Cereal box computer game, what's
yeah.
this?
Did you never... Back
in my day,
you used to get computer game CD-ROMs in a cereal box.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Age of Empires was a time.
I wish they still did that. I mean, I don't eat cereal, but I would start eating cereal if all of a sudden there was like video games in cereal boxes.
Bring it back. Coming in at number three on taking stuff back, your hoodie back from your ex. Could be a difficult conversation, or maybe you just let that one go.
I'd let that one go. Just invest in a new hoodie.
Yeah, you just had a little haunted look there, Jordan. Coming in at number two.
Oh, the amount of clothes I lost.
Things to take back. Your parking spot, because there's always one location where you want to put your car in the mornings when you hit the office.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, damn it, some blighter has taken my spot.
And then the second they move, all of a sudden you're like a Formula One race car driver. Just
on it.
Get into that car spot.
And then coming in at number one on taking stuff back. Do this on the daily. Pens. A lot of pens. A lot of pens changing hands throughout the day.
Oh, yeah. There's two pens over there. I'm pretty sure at least one of them is from my office.
Yeah, and I don't know where the other one came from, so...
It'll be in my office after the show, put it that way.
Thieves!
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, want to talk about gondolas in Venice?
When the moon hits your eye,
da-da-da. I can see a pizza pie that's I've been, actually. Been on a gondola in Venice.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How was it? Was it good?
When yeah, it was all right.
Was there a guy at the back paddling romantically singing this song?
He wasn't singing this song, but when you are on a gondola going through Venice, you have to, if you are there in a romantic sense, right, you have to make out / kiss the person that you are on the gondola with when you go under the tunnels.
Oh, like under the bridges?
Yeah.
There's a lot of bridges.
That's the point.
Oh, I see, okay.
Yeah, and so what ended up happening was I was there with, like, I think I was on a gondola with, like, eight dudes.
I was going to say, I think you've told me this story before. You were on a Kentucky tour.
That's right, yeah. So there was eight guys, two dudes, made it happen just because they couldn't let it go occurring.
Did you?
No, goodness no. But these two, they were both tradies. One was named Spano.
That's a good tradie name.
Yeah, and he was not pleased.
But on the plus side, he's got a brilliant name that fits his job.
Yeah,
so, like if you're booking a trader, he rocks up to your house, "Oh, g'day, my name's Spano." You know you're in safe hands.
There were beverages flowing in Europe, and so they're like, "Well, if this is what you do, I guess we should make it happen."
Oh, fair enough.
Two tradies named Camo and Spano.
Sounds like that should be the radio show here.
Yeah.
Get rid of Simo and Jordan.
Bring in Camo and Spano. I think they fell out shortly after that.
Well, it'll be an entertaining radio show.
So why do you bring Venice and gondolas to the table?
Well, Venice is just starting to reopen now after being locked down.
Yeah.
However, the numbers of people allowed on certain gondolas has been reduced from kind of by either 1 to 2 people, depending on the size of the boat. So, for example, if the boat could seat 6, it now has to seat 5. And if it was 14, it's now 12. So they're kind of reducing the numbers on a boat by 1 to 2 people.
Okay.
Simo, I'll give you 3 guesses. Guess why this is happening. I guarantee you won't get it.
I don't know. Pandemic?
Nothing to do with coronavirus. I guess 2 more.
Animals?
Nope.
Currents?
No.
Wait, did you say less people, not more people?
No, less people coming on the boats.
I don't know.
Well, Simo, the president of the Venice Gondolas Association, a guy called by the name.
As soon as you bring Italian politics into it, they are nutters. You think our politicians are bad? These guys over in Italy, mental.
I don't think the Venice Gondolas Association is in the House of Parliament.
But
it could be in the Italian Parliament. I don't know.
Political. They talk with their hands a lot, so you just fear them is what I'm saying.
Anyway, so this guy, his name is Andrea Balbi.
All right.
And he has come out and said, and I'm quoting now. I wanted to get the audio of him saying this, but it's all in Italian, so I have to read the transcript.
Yep.
But I'm quoting, "This is the reason why the amount of people on gondolas is being reduced."
Okay, right.
"Tourists are now overweight. From some countries, it's like loading bombs onto the boat. And when the boat is fully loaded, the hull sinks and water enters.
Interesting.
Advancing with over half a ton of meat on board is dangerous."
Half a ton of meat.
So gondolas in Venice, the numbers of people on gondolas has to be reduced because tourists are too fat.
Interesting.
He's certainly not mincing his words.
It's, are you sensing some hypocriticism at all? Because the Italians do enjoy their grub. They do enjoy their food.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I don't really want to start a war with you, Simo. I haven't been to Venice yet. I want to go one day. You have been.
Yeah, I've already been. Doesn't matter.
So you can annoy them.
That's right. Yeah.
I would quite like to go one day once Corona's over.
You can distance yourself from these. But yeah, they're quite, you know, they're eating a lot of carbs over there in Italy.
Well, yeah, but...
a lot of carbs.
I'd assume that there's not many local people that live in Venice that kind of go, you know, I might just go on a scenic... gondola ride around the city that I live in and have lived in for the last 10 years.
Better take a gondola to the office today.
That would be such a fun way to get to work.
Damn it, I've got to...
I've missed the 9 o'clock gondola. I have to wait for the 9:15 now.
Because I missed my office start time because I was making out with strangers underneath bridges on my gondola trip.
All I want to do is go home and have a microwave meal and now I have to kiss all these people as we go under bridges.
Don't do that. COVID-19.
Simo and Jordan.
A couple of months ago, you brought this to our attention, Jordan.
Okay.
That a kangaroo had escaped.
Anywhere in particular, or...?
Well... I doubt it's Australia, because if it's a kangaroo that's escaped in Australia, I got news for you. There's
lots.
There's a lot of escapees.
I know. The people rounding up the kangaroos aren't doing a very good job.
Are there people? Yeah, there are people that do that, hey.
I have no idea.
This was in Norway. So
right.
Naturally, kangaroos, natural habitat, not Norway.
I would say very much the opposite of Norway. I mean, Norway, very cold. And here, okay, well, yeah, in the snowies, I guess it's cold, but in Australia, more generally, it's kind of warmer where the kangaroos roam.
A loose kangaroo was recaptured by veterinarians more than 2 months after it escaped from a zoo on a Norwegian island.
Right.
2 months on the loose. What could it possibly have got up to?
Well, if it was only on an island,
yeah.
Do you know how big it was? Like, was it just like a small island?
Yeah.
How did it take them 2 months to round up a kangaroo? It's only a small island. I mean, it's not like there's lots in Norway. It's be pretty easy to spot.
I mean, I assume that this reporter hasn't got a Norwegian island confused with Kangaroo Island, because that's a legitimate place with a lot of kangaroos.
True.
However,
well, if that reporter has got somehow Norway confused with a small island off South Australia, I think.
Yeah.
I'd question their journalism degree.
However, the kangaroo had been spotted numerous times throughout its 2-month ordeal on the loose, you know, just probably visiting the pubs, you know, doing, or wouldn't be
playing up to all the Aussie stereotypes, watching the footy, having a meat pie. Wearing a singlet.
It wouldn't be a pub crawl, would it? It would be a pub hop, I assume.
Oh, I don't know. I've been on a couple of pub crawls after you've read the third or fourth pub. Hopping's quite fun.
So it was spotted numerous times, including during the 2-month escapee run or hop. It was sighted at a local school class that had just finished studying a unit about Australian culture.
I kind of want to know what they were studying.
Just like, and that,
somewhere in Norway, there's a class learning about meat pies and VB.
It's like, and do what sauce goes with a pie, children? Tomato.
Some kid off the back. Oh, is it gravy? No, Sven, you useless person.
No, Sven, you utterly useless child.
Never go to Australia. You'll be laughed at like I'm laughing at you.
So, yeah, I imagine that would be pretty, that would really give a good end to the Australian unit, I guess. Finish the class, close your books. Thank you for taking this course, children. Oi, miss, there's a...
Can you imagine, so when you go to school, oh, miss, there's a dog outside the school. No, there's not, Timmy, come on. Can you imagine that?
Sven's we like, just learnt about this.
Sven's like, miss, there's a kangaroo outside. Come, no, Sven, go put gravy on your meat pie and go over there.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
I want to talk about 007.
The man, the myth, the legion that is 007, licensed to kill, named Bond.
James Bond.
Yeah. Ooh.
Sorry, were you going to do the James Bond fit?
It's like Mufasa, say it again.
Also, the reason I want to talk about James Bond, currently played by Daniel Craig. However, it's been well documented that he is leaving the role, I think after this upcoming movie, I think it's his last.
He's done.
And there's been kind of lots of speculation about who's going to be the next Bond.
Right, yep.
Idris Elba is a name that always kind of keeps popping up.
I would be a fan. I'd be a big fan of that.
I would be too, but I was reading yesterday, apparently he said he doesn't want to do it.
Oh, really?
So maybe not him.
He is an English actor, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he is, yeah. And then they're looking maybe a first female Bond, maybe that's...
Yeah,
it's
right.
Kind of a lot of hats being thrown in the ring. While we're at it, I'll throw my hat in the ring. I'd love to play James Bond. I'd be rubbish.
You got the same initials.
Yeah, my last name starts with B.
Yeah, so
yeah, there you go.
JB, you've already got half of the job done.
There you go. People who make James Bond, hook me up. But no, Simo, someone else who is a bit more famous has thrown their hat in the ring. I speak of this guy. I don't want to
ride. Robbie Williams. I love Robbie.
I know.
Yeah, that would be... It'd be interesting.
I know you're a big fan of Robbie. You wanted to play three different hooks of three different songs, yeah. And I had to stab my foot down and say, no, like, we're not doing that.
Such a lovely human.
Well, Simo, Robbie Williams has thrown his hat in the ring to play James Bond. He was speaking on a UK soccer-based show, of all things,
yeah.
Where he said he wants to play James Bond. I've got the quotes here from him. I couldn't find the actual grab, so I thought about another way, which would be a fun way of presenting it. Simo, you've done, like, various voices. Why are you Googling how tall Robbie Williams is?
Just because, you know, if you're under 6 foot, are you really able to play James Bond?
Okay, how tall is Robbie?
He's 1.85 metres.
Is that 6 foot?
I think that's bang on.
Okay.
I think he passes on that alone.
Okay, so he meets the height restrictions to play James Bond. I imagine that you go to the James Bond audition and there's like one of the things before you get on the roller coaster. You must be this tall to play James Bond. I think I'm just under 6 foot, so that probably counts me out, unfortunately.
Well, that's the thing is like you think about any of those JB initialed like assassin, agent, spies.
Can you name any other than James Bond and James Bourne?
No,
what's it?
There's James Bond.
Yeah.
Jason Bourne,
that's what I'm thinking.
There's Jack Bauer from 24, if you remember that, with the ticking clock. And then there is, who else? Oh, Jack Burns from The Parent Trap. He is also a spy. Ben Stiller's dad in The Parent Trap.
I can't help but feel... Maybe with the exception of that last one. All the people you mentioned, super cool.
Yeah.
All have initials which are JB.
Yeah.
Jordan Bocock. That's me.
Yeah, you're righto.
Oh, yeah, I'm cool.
Actually, Jack Black as well, but he's not a spy, but...
Yeah, he ticks the cool box.
Yeah.
Also, Mo, yeah, so Robbie, he has thrown his hat in the ring to play James Bond. I wanted to get the quotes from him from this interview, but I couldn't find them. So I thought, Simo, you're pretty good at accents.
Yes.
You can do a bit of a British accent, a bit of a Robbie impersonation.
Oh, yeah, Governor. It's kind of like the Artful Dodger kind of thing.
Okay, well, Robbie's turned into a Cockney. It's a someone. You'd never guess that before Simo got into radio, he was a theatre actor who starred in the production of Oliver Twist.
Oi, Oliver. There you go. Got it. Got it down in one.
All right, Simo, in your Cockney UK accent, I've highlighted the quotes there.
All right,
this is what Robbie has said in referring to James Bond. Go for it.
Oi, Gov, I tell you what,
He didn't say, oi, Gov. Simo, you're ad-libbing. Stick to the script.
I tell you what, I'll throw my hat in the ring right now to be James Bond because people think I am just like a cheeky chappy, but I've got range.
Keep going.
People don't know about me, so for example, I'm about to lead the troops over the hill into battle. Are you ready? Imagine me on a horse and there's 10,000 men on horses in front of me.
I don't think Robbie's ever seen it, James. Imagine me on a horse leading 10,000 men in horses behind me into battle.
Yeah.
I don't think he's talking about the Wizard of Oz. I think he just wants to be in Narnia. You handed me the piss paper back.
Was there more?
Next page.
Okay, right.
There's more.
All right, here we go.
We're not done with this yet.
I've got range as an actor, but cheeky thing is, it's all an act. I'm an earnest, so I'm seldom crack a smile in real life. I think very deeply. So, yeah, I would like to throw my hat in the ring for a role of James Bond. People don't take me seriously, and they really should.
If Robbie doesn't get the role, please let it be a Cockney. I'd love a Cockney James Bond. Simo, get your audition tape, send it in. Yeah. I'd love a Cockney James Bond.
Half a chance. But, you know, he does have a slight obsession with horses, does Robbie?
Does he?
Yeah, because in that film clip of... what is it? It's in Candy, I think, in this one. This one?
Yeah.
At the end of this particular film clip, he ends up riding a horse in full medieval armour with a halo and then out into the distance.
I think just because he's doing something in a film clip doesn't mean he's obsessed with it.
That's a good
point. Like Simo, Rock DJ, the one we played earlier.
He's tearing off
his skin. I'm pretty sure in the film clip for that he strips naked and then starts tearing up all of his skin.
Yeah, he peels it
off.
So
it's just like a skeleton dancing with lots of girls rollerblading around him.
If that doesn't...
I don't think we can describe that. So Robbie, what are your obsessions? Oh, stripping naked and ripping all my skin off?
Do you know what?
Robbie, seek help.
In the new Bond film starring Robbie Williams, he rides a horse while peeling off his sunburned skin.
And doing a Cockney accent for some reason.
We're out of here.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.